You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I started the book. Bro, you sold that thing.
Did it catch your imagination right out of the chute?
You sold that thing.
It doesn't need selling, really.
But that's what sold it.
Yeah.
This is even more of a sell.
Yeah. You'll like it.
We went to break and you immediately like, yeah, it's...
Dude lived a life.
And you're not a pusher when it comes to that stuff.
Well, I know what's good. I don't need to convince anybody else. I already know what's good.
It's different than that guy who did the Catch Me If You Can, like the Abagnale guy who apparently lied about everything.
Yeah, most of
too.
That turns out not to have happened.
Which I honestly don't really care because
the movie
is still great.
Yeah, like, I agree.
I would like to suspend reality and maybe part of it isn't the truth, but I also don't care if it's the truth or not. It's still a good movie.
Do you guys have one of those actors that, and the reason I'm bringing this up is DiCaprio is the guy for me, where for reasons that make no sense, I can't even tell you why. I had decided I didn't like Leonardo DiCaprio movies. Hmm. Okay, I don't like that guy.
Because they are fantastic movies.
No. Okay. And then I don't know what it was, but somehow Susan and I ended up watching Blood Diamond. Okay.
Okay.
Great movie. And I'm like, yeah, he was really good in that.
Maybe very heavy, graphic, the whole thing. But
maybe I should try another one. He's awesome.
Yeah, I know.
He's good.
A Wolf of Wall Street?
He's good in everything.
Yes.
It was one of those things like, you're an idiot for denying yourself incredible performer. Do you have one of those guys that you didn't like?
Someone,
that was wrong.
I don't know if I have someone off the top of my head, but sometimes I think we paint our own picture of like, why does everyone keep talking about this guy?
Exactly.
Why is he so great? It's almost, if we use actually an athlete as an example, there's certain athletes we don't like, or there's certain athletes that maybe there's a perception they keep talking about. Actually, I'll give you one. LeBron, I think there are a lot of people who are like polarized with LeBron James. Some people really like him, some people don't like him at all.
But nobody thinks he's not a good basketball player, right?
But then you just go sit there and you go watch him and you're like, how do I not just appreciate all 48 minutes of this dude? A lot of people don't. I just use that from an actor perspective. There's some people that are like, well, everybody's talking about this guy. Everybody's making such a big deal about him. Then you go see one of his movies and you're like, yeah, he's pretty good.
So I have two that are going to be very controversial.
Aaron Rodgers.
Hate me about that I say. So this also comes off of, I listened to the Rewatchables, the Bill Simmons podcast a lot. They debate like the biggest movie stars of our era. And like one of them is Leonardo DiCaprio, kind of like the newer generation. So mine for this one person is more recent in the past maybe 10 years. Tom Hanks does not have good choices in movies in the last 10 years. He has been in some very poor movies, or he's had poor performances in really good movies. So it's kind of soured for me, but his heyday of big...
he had 40 years of making
Yes, big
killers.
Forrest Gump, all that stuff. I'm just saying, I think that he's... If I could eliminate
But you're just
some,
talking about now, though, right? Like the last handful
but then
of
all, And
years
then I'm also...
So?
I'm not Tom Cruise person. Not Tom Cruise person whatsoever. Can leave all of his filmography on the table, and I will never watch any of his stuff ever again, and I'd be very okay with my life.
I like
Matt
Tom Cruise.
Damon, I'm okay with.
Love Matt Damon.
Yeah, he's got good
love
stuff.
Love Matt Damon. So you don't like any of Tom Cruise's movies? Just
not
full
a single
stop?
One.
Not one.
Don't get, if you list some Tom Cruise movies, and I don't like them.
Born on the 4th of July.
Nope.
Why not?
I'm just...
Rain Man.
Okay, I'm not a big, like... Big action person.
Rain Man's not an action movie.
I understand. I just didn't really care for it.
Jerry Maguire.
Didn't like it.
Why?
Oh, that's a good one.
I just thought it was cheesy and corny.
Magnolia.
I haven't watched Magnolia.
Magnolia, he's really good in Magnolia.
I'll give Magnolia a try and see if it can change my mind. But like there are these things that like the big movie stars that get people to the theater. Like it's Denzel Washington, it's Leonardo DiCaprio, it's Tom Cruise.
I like Tom Cruise.
Yeah, Denzel
Tom Cruise has some clunkers in there, but Tom Cruise is pretty good bet. I'm going to go see Maverick just to bother you again.
Not a bet for Emily, so it's okay. I know Tom Cruise is quaking in his boots because Emily won't watch his movies.
I'm not saying he's not a peculiar individual,
exactly.
But he makes pretty good movies. Are you a Cruise guy, Slee?
I'm okay with him. I don't have to go see. If he comes out with him, I mean, I did see Maverick, but I
did
felt like...
Did you see Magnolia?
I did not see Magnolia.
Did you see Rain Man?
Rain Man I have seen.
Did you like him in that?
Yeah. Yeah, but he's not like somebody that I have to... It's not somebody... If Denzel comes out with a movie, there's a good chance I'm going to go see it. If DiCaprio comes out with a movie, there's a good chance I'm going to go see it. If even Brad Pitt, I put into that category. I see a lot of his movies. Tom Cruise, I could do without.
It's funny. The ones of Cruise that I could kind of like take it or leave it are the Mission Impossibles. They're okay. They're kind of fun, yeah. But I don't have to see those. But the rest of them, I'm
Risky
a fan.
Business, again, didn't like that one either. So.
That's probably not for you. That's probably yeah. for 17-year-old Travis when that movie
came. Right, exactly.
Actually, I was more like 12 when that movie came. There was some stuff in that movie that was interesting. Trains, getting into college, things like that. Still waiting to find out exactly when LeBron is going to come back. We hopefully before the end of the season, maybe not. Hopefully in the play-in, maybe not. Hopefully first round of the playoffs, maybe not. Mm-hmm. No one's really quite sure. Chris Haynes said this. They believe that they being the Lakers, they believe they got a legitimate shot to take down Denver. They believe they got a legitimate shot to take down Memphis. I don't know about Phoenix when KD is healthy. I haven't asked around on that front, but there's no fear at all. Mm-hmm. That being that the Lakers are just basically, we're not afraid of Denver. We're not afraid of Memphis. Sacramento's the number two seed. They could easily wind up in the seven, and that's where they could open up the playoffs. We'll see there. I appreciate the sentiment that we're not afraid of anybody. Mm-hmm. But is this not the ultimate definition of putting the cart before the horse? I mean, you have to get in before you can not be afraid of the Denver Nuggets. And right now, today, they're not in.
So, couple things. I actually want to play some. Windhorse joined Lakers Talk yesterday. The day before is when Darvin Ham said, we expect him back before the season ends. Take a listen to Windhorse, what he says on Bron, and then I'll answer this question on that.
From what I understand, he has done everything he possibly can to try to figure out how to get back from this, and that this was never a three-week injury. It was never going to be a three-week injury, and it's probably not a five-week injury either. So, you know, this to me, while the injuries are probably very different, it's comparable to 2 years ago when he came back right at the end of the season from that high ankle sprain, and he probably wasn't ready to come back, but he did it because he wanted to make it happen and tried to get, you know, give the team what he could. I suspect that's probably what's going to happen here. And so, you know, LeBron is LeBron. He's not going to want to lose an opportunity to try to make something happen. So he'll try to make something happen. This is a significant injury.
So I think we heard something for the first time from Darvin Ham saying, hey, everything is going as planned. He's going to get reassessed on Thursday. I think it sounds like there's a stronger chance you're not going to see him back in the regular season than you are going to see him back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what Windhorse was trying to explain there was, even if he does make potentially, this thing's not going to heal. This is not a three-week injury. It's probably not even a five-week injury. To go off of what Chris Haynes said, at least for me, the team that I've watched over the last week and a half, almost 2 weeks, I find it very, very difficult to try to say, oh, bring on the Denver Nuggets. I find it very difficult to say, hey, Ja Morant's back with the Memphis Grizzlies, cool. Bring on the Memphis Grizzlies. I think just getting out of this play-in. By the way, if the playoffs start today, they're not even in the play-in. Utah won yesterday. Because they won yesterday, Utah's back to 10. Lakers are at 11. Lakers won't play tonight. Pelicans have a game. I forget who else has a game. But they could be in 12th by the time today is all said and done. So the idea and the concept that the Lakers, if you wanted to pitch me that conversation 2 weeks ago, I think it's a different conversation. Today, yeah. I don't feel the same way at all.
They're not in, and there's no guarantee that they're going to get in.
And the way they're playing.
Yeah, well, the way they're playing is the way that they've played, right? They're not alone in this. They're just terribly inconsistent. As all those teams in that little clump of teams are, they can look great for a night or two, and then they can look really bad for a night or two. And good teams don't do that. And I don't think any of those teams in that clump are particularly good. I don't know if Denver's a really good team or just, you know, they're just the best of a bunch of average teams. I don't think it's a fear thing. I don't think it's we're not afraid of these guys. We are afraid of people to get in. Like, the idea of what they're going to do when they get in, I think, is way, way, way premature when I don't know if Anthony Davis is going to be good or not. I don't know if he's going to play or not. I don't mm-hmm. know if LeBron James comes back and what is he? Is he 80% of LeBron? Is he 90% of LeBron? Is he 40%? I don't know. And to think that, well, if LeBron is running around out there on one leg, then how much does that help? Probably mm-hmm. not a ton if mm-hmm. he's seriously hobbled. If he's pretty darn good, it helps a great deal. I don't know. They until they're in, it just feels like we're going in circles. They might not get in. It really does feel like a coin flip at this point. You know, if it lands on heads, you're in. If tails, you're out. I don't know. They'd probably take that rather than play out the games at this point. 50-50 feels a lot better than what they've done over the last, you know, 6 months or 5 months or whatever it is. I don't know what they are.
The problem is, too, it's not like – I think there's two ways to get in. One way to get in is you're hoping and praying. One way to get in is you just handle your own business and you got in.
Yep.
The other way you get in is other teams are not good and you kind of back your way in. So I think that's the part that – just think about Lakers got 10 games left. Think if you win six, you're in.
It's 500. It's 41-41 if they win six games.
2 weeks ago, I would not have thought 500 gets you in. I think 500 is going to get them in. If you win six of your last 10 games – I think you get in.
That's kind of right where it is. 35 mm-hmm. and 36 is the 10th spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's right around 500. Mm-hmm. But if you finish 40 and 42, you're probably out.
You're probably
not. And by the way,
in.
That's 5-5 over these last 10.
Yes.
That's not to say that, it's probably, I don't know. That's the whole point. Mm-hmm. I don't know. And I think all of the Lakers players, brass, coaching, I don't think anybody really knows because they haven't, the trade deadline, they looked really good. Well, about a week after that, 10 days after that, they've kind of come back to earth where it looks more like you got some role players. You got D'Angelo Russell. It's better, but it's not what it looked like right out of the shoe. It's like, wow, that looks really good. They're role players. They're mm-hmm. inconsistent. That's what it is. The Lakers are inconsistent. If there was the equivalent of a role player as a team, that's the Lakers. Sun Knights, yep, there it is. They can beat Denver, sure. And then they need 48 points from Austin Reeves mm-hmm. to beat a bad Magic team. I don't know what they are.
So tomorrow they're going to play the Phoenix Suns. They lose by five, you're not going to be surprised. They win by five, you probably wouldn't be shocked or surprised. I think that is the Lakers on a night-in-night-out basis. Anthony Davis tomorrow could have 35-12. You know what else he could have? 19-9.
Yeah.
That could happen tomorrow. Malik Beasley can have six threes tomorrow. You know what else can happen tomorrow? He could have one three.
Yeah, right.
That there is no, I'm not sure at least over these last 2 weeks what Laker team that I'm going to get, but I think that probably is the best description of the Lakers. Every single night, you might have a good night, you might have a bad night, and that's kind of the team that they've been over these last couple of weeks.
I did think for a while that LeBron could be the guy to come back and kind of, okay, he's back. Whew. Get us over the finish line. Hearing Windhorst say that the scope of the injury, that leads you to believe that like he may be able to make some things here and there, but him carrying the water through a 7-game series does not sound like something that he's going to be able to do if I'm taking Windhorst for what he said. The scope of the injury is not just, hey, he's going to – I'll see what I can do never fills me with a great deal of hope. That is a phrase that makes you think, okay, he's pretty banged up.
And we're not in December.
Right.
We're not in, you know, that window that the Lakers that you thought, oh yeah, there's enough time. When he had his injury and they said they're not even gonna reevaluate it for 3 weeks, that kind of told you the scope of the injury. That means, all right, if he's coming back, it's coming back potentially the final week of the season.
Right now, who wins the West today? You gotta pick somebody.
Still go with Phoenix.
Yeah. Taylor, how about you?
Denver.
Denver, M?
Phoenix.
I think Phoenix too. I think Denver's probably the best bet because for 5 months they've been the best team, but they're not playing great right now. And Kevin Durant is Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think if it's not one of those two teams, Clippers could come out of the West.
Sure they could.
Kings?
But that would be more of a surprise. Kings, my only problem with the Kings, they just don't play enough defense.
And they have no experience.
Just don't play enough defense.
I think that once you get into that second, like the first round, I think they got a really good chance of winning that series. But once you can kind of get into, hey guys, this could actually happen territory, is when the pucker factor becomes
But that's
real.
What's great about their spot. Go get that experience this year. Go win a round this year. And then all of a sudden next year you might be having a different conversation.
Sacramento is 43-28. They're 15 games over 500, and I would be shocked if they went to the Western Conference Finals.
Yeah, no, I'm
shocked.
With you on that.
Shocked.
I'm with you on that.
Not just shocked. I don't think that that's likely to happen. All right, the Rams reportedly could have gotten more for Jalen Ramsey than a third-round pick and a backup tight end. Is that good businessing, or is that just bad footballing? That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Have you gone outside? I can kind of see it. It still looks like it's kind of gray out there. I'm done, Slee. I'm completely done. I like the rain. I like gray. I don't even mind cold so much, but I'm done.
Have you had any structural issues in your house? Any overflow?
Did I not tell you guys this story?
Maybe not.
So this was a couple of months ago. That's Al's jam, but you usually pay reasonably close attention. It was when it was raining, not just a lot, but it had that 3-hour window, 3-4 hours where it's raining super hard, right? And my front door, like you come out my front door and there's this little landing area and then there's one step down and then it's a walkway to the sidewalk, okay? And then on both sides of the walkway are plants. And it's succulents and wood chips for the most part, right? Well,
and you have that lion statue.
It's raining so hard that the water couldn't drain. And there's so much water in the street that the drain from the planters, the water's coming into my yard as opposed to flowing out of my yard in the street because the water level is so high. Mm-hmm. It's just about to come up over the front step of my house and into the house, right? So it's getting, and the step, I don't know, step's probably 4 inches high, give or take. I'm out there with a push broom, brooming water from the front of my house into the street, just trying to get it. And you broom it out and it comes right back in. You broom it out. And I was out there, I don't know, 45 minutes or so, just barely keeping ahead of it from coming into the house. That's the only time that we've had almost a, hey, this could be a problem. The flooding could come into the house, but we missed it by a quarter of an inch.
Cappy would be shocked by the amount of movement and exercise that you did.
Okay. Now you're making me feel kind of bad because I was gassed afterwards.
I mean, that's 45 minutes of tough labor.
The water's heavy.
Yeah.
Right? So you're brooming this water out of this thing. Broom it from here out to the street. Out to the street.
Bobby and Michael are just upstairs. They're
playing Fortnite.
Mario Kart.
Xbox. Yeah.
They're Fortnite guys. Hey, you want to play Fortnite? You always quit.
Dad, keep it down out there.
They suck. They're all right. They play a lot of Fortnite.
Yeah.
Bobby in particular. But what do you got?
Considering how old my house is, I'm knocking on wood. I'm glad that there hasn't been anything major happening, but like, you know, the house is old and it's not mine, so who knows? Yeah,
well, don't you just call the landlord? Like, your roof's leaking. that's the one nice thing about renting. We got a problem. You need to come here and fix this.
Yeah, one time in college, I was living in another rundown house and there was an attic area where two girls were living and the entire, there's like a flap in the roof. It came down, like flooded all their stuff. And I thankfully wasn't there that weekend that I was away and my stuff was on the bottom floor. But like, kind of they were like, you're out of luck. You know, it was kind of like a
all their stuff got destroyed.
Yeah, because they didn't have renter's insurance.
Is the other side of it. I've told you this before. Getting that call. So I own a rental down in San Diego, right?
Getting
that call. One time, this was years ago. And the weather was like it is now. It's just raining and raining and raining. And one day the call was, there's water just coming completely through the roof, through the ceiling, just coming out. And this was like, you know, I'm up here, whatever the case is.
Do you have like a property manager down there?
No. Alan Sliwa was your property manager.
No.
So getting that call,
that sucks.
I'm like, what do I do here?
Yeah. What'd you do?
Call a roofer. They come in. Send you the bill.
Did you have to jump in the car and go down there and supervise?
I did go down there, but you gotta. It's a whole thing. It's not just first. You gotta dry everything. Anything that was up in the attic now has to get dried as well.
Well, because the mold will grow.
Gotta, yeah, the whole thing.
That's a whole.
Like, this is comfortable.
It's a
this
whole
is great.
Other thing going on. I probably should have asked you this
sponsor
before before I ask on the air. Can we talk about your interview with your potential roommate? No.
So yeah, so we're looking at new roommates because one of my roommates decided to get his own place because he got a raise, wants to live on his own. Yep. It was amicable. It was good, but yeah, we've been talking to people and we've been like. I had it on Facebook and was seeing it.
When are you interviewing Taylor? I guess that's what we're trying to get to.
What are the questions? What do you ask these guys?
So
is it men and women or just women?
So we kind of do just women, okay. Because it just safety reasons.
It's discrimination, by the way. I'm calling you to the equal opportunity or who people who are.
I mean,
that
where is this world gone?
I want to feel, you know, I guess again, if it was someone I knew.
Want to feel what?
If it was someone I knew, it would be easier to live with a guy. But I've only lived with a guy once, and that was back in Connecticut. And I had a roommate. He's a guy too, but different situation. But anyway, we ask about, you know, what their sleep schedule is, when they go to work, essentially, so that we don't have people that are like up really late, up really early, so that we can kind of match, because their house is as loud and makes noise when you get up in certain times, that you're not a huge party animal bringing the people back to the house, that you when is it
seems like fair questions
one situation in which you've had an issue with your roommate and how did you handle it, kind of thing. So it's like
punched him in the nose.
Did you, and
took it outside.
You got a problem, you stupid.
I throw their trophies against the wall, but I try to say like, I want the group text for the roommates to be a non-anxiety thing. So, like, I don't want every time I get a text from my roommate to be a ping of, like, oh, there's
what now?
There must be something they're trying to tell me to do this time, but instead be a nice place. So, to have more face-to-face communication kind of thing. So, yeah, we're interviewing a couple of people.
Do you know right away? Like, for instance, you get them.
Just use ZipRecruiter?
You get them, you're like, yeah, this ain't going to work. And do you go through the rigmarole of asking the questions like, you know, appreciate your time, but no.
I think we get to that point. So we usually FaceTime them before they come to the house, before we give them our address. Essentially, one, to make sure that they're real, and two, to kind of get that like look of them.
Real, that never even crossed my mind that they could be.
Exactly.
Like, you're not wearing business attire.
I'm a group of women.
You're 100. As not a woman, that never crossed, but you're 100% right.
Yeah, so we want to make sure that they're real, that they are who they say they are, and then we talk to them, and then we... then they come to the house, they see the house, and we chat with them for probably like 20-ish minutes. And then after, if we like them, we'll also ask for references, which is also weird. But we want to hear from a former roommate, someone who has lived with them in the past, because we've had issues, or my former roommates have had issues of people just being not who they say.
So I got one for you, Al. And this isn't just for roommates. This is just the general idea of references. Mm-hmm. If I said to you, hey, can you give me some references? What good does it? You're giving me the people that you know are going to say nice things about you, right? Like that's not what it is.
At least you have someone to say something nice about you.
Well, true, but
because there's plenty of people that don't have that.
Nobody? Your mom? You just say this is my roommate.
But then we wouldn't
Karen.
Take a mom. We would take someone who's.
But how do you know it's his mother? Like that's my point. Like it's just, hey, mom, this person be calling you, 100%. Telling me we live together. You just no idea. Like if I'm interviewing you and I want to call your former boss, where did you work previously? And I'm going to go find that person on my own. I'm not going to take
1,000%
your references.
Right. Yeah, because you can't say, call my cousin. he's working from noon to two. He's free today. Call this person who's my best friend and I've known since I was a kid. And then also, you're 100% right.
Let me ask you guys if you've ever done this. So I've had numerous occasions where people have come to me and said, is it okay if I use you as a reference? I'm applying for a new job. 90% of the time,
I'm no problem.
Happy to do it. I also say yes when it's somebody that I would not recommend because I want that call, right? Like if it's like, hey, you better hope they don't call me because I'm going to tell them the truth. But I always say nine out of 10 times it's because I genuinely like the person I want to do it. But that 10th time is, call me, this is not going to go your way.
You can't say, yeah, absolutely, have them call me and then you BS something and then they end up getting that job. This happened when I was in college, or maybe I was just out of college, and I had a good friend of mine that wanted to get a job. It was basically like as a bartender at a nice hotel down in San Diego. I recommended him. Yeah. You know what happened a couple months later? He got fired from that place. No. I look like the idiot, right? So you're right about that.
Yeah. I'll tell you. Hey, we're talking to Alan Sliwa. What do you know about him?
No.
Well, we worked together for a while. Like, those are my favorite answers to give. Like, the answers that tell you nothing but everything. What'd you think
we
of
We worked from June 2021.
He was all right. Oh, yeah? Did you get along? Yeah, more or less. Like, just these incredibly benign, stupid answers, like, and just red flashing lights. Do not do it. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Ontario and Peter. Peter, you're on with Travis Slee. What's up, Peter?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I know about the rain, man. My wood chips are all over my sidewalk, man. It's just in the landscape.
Right?
They just start floating all over the place. Crazy. Hey, I wanted to talk about the Lakers. I think the Lakers, to be quite honest, are in some serious trouble because the teams that were losing, they are now winning. Like Utah is winning. They don't look like they care too much about the lottery. They're starting to win. The T-Wolves, the Mavericks. I mean, I just think the Lakers are going to be in trouble even just to make the play-in.
So here's the deal, Peter. Thank you for the call, and a nice broom will put those wood chips right back where they belong in the first place. The Dallas Mavericks are 4-6 in their last 10. The Minnesota Timberwolves are 5-5 in their last 10. The Utah Jazz are 5-5 in their last 10. They're not playing well. None of them are, right? The whole Western Conference, once you get down to about 5 or 6, it goes 5-5, 5-5, 4-6, 4-6, 5-5, 7-3. Oklahoma City is playing a little bit better. 5-5, 6-4, 4-6. They're all right there within a game or two of 500. Nobody's pulling away. No, Portland sunk like a stone. They're kind of out of it at this point.
Yeah, they're pretty much done.
But there isn't. You're not getting in because anybody else is playing good or bad. You're going to have to just hope that you're slightly less bad than the other guys towards the bottom of the West.
I think part of what's going to eventually happen is Karl Anthony Towns is coming back. Anthony Edwards is going to be coming back. Luka's going to be coming back. That some of
Kevin
these
Durant.
KD is going to be coming back. Some of these teams that are at least kind of hanging in that if the Lakers are trying to pass those teams up, basically who the Lakers are going to have to pass is probably the Thunder or the Utah Jazz if they want that final spot. Because I do think Dallas will get Luka back and they'll kind of, the dust will settle. And Minnesota.
You think the Pelicans drop out? They're only a half game behind the Lakers.
Only a half game behind the Lakers. They've been really bad. And the Lakers have the tiebreaker on them. So I'd be more concerned with the Jazz than I would be the Pelicans.
Pelicans 4-6 in their last 10, only a half game back. The tiebreaker, a little bit different there as well. Factor Cap, coming up next. It's Travis Slee, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey guys, we're glad that Berg can join us because he was on hold with IT for forever because we know we always love that.
Did you have to listen to the Pirates of Caribbean music over and over and over again?
I am so annoyed today. This has been a 3-day process trying to get my phone to have internet, or not to have internet, to have mail.
Your email back?
I have
it.
Are you
ho,
back?
Yo, ho, a pirate's kind of life for me.
Oh.
Yeah, nonstop
all day.
There are 25 calls in front of you.
You know what the worst part about it was? I got on. I had to go to level 2, by the way, which is they couldn't figure it out on the regular level, so they had to push you up to level 2. And level 2, then
It cut off.
It cut me off.
That's happened. Yep.
It cut me off, and then when you try and call it back,
you got to start level 1 again.
No. They gave me a number to call just for level 2.
Okay.
And when I called it back, it says this long distance server is not available right now.
Long distance issues. And it's been all day. 1977?
Oh my God.
We love this.
This has been, I could play it for you, but I'm not going to. It's very, all right. Very frustrating.
So yesterday on your show, Berg, you were talking a bit about getting set up with a girl in North Carolina. That. So
North Carolina.
Just maybe give us like the 10-second recap of what that story is real quick, and then I'll have my fact check about it.
Okay, so this was not for me. My friends, two of my really good friends, married, meet this woman who is a mother. The mother says, I want to set my daughter up with someone. They say, okay, sure, here's Greg. This would be a good person for you to set up with. They then, apparently this person lives in North Carolina, is moving back here in 6 months, gave me the phone number without any type of information except
no
for...
No context.
No context except for like, here's a picture, here's a few things about her, go ahead. And so now we've talked a little bit.
All right.
Do you like her?
So
I mean, from a text
seems
message.
Nice.
Seems nice.
Okay. Have you said I love her yet?
We'll see that 6 months down the time.
I love you.
All right. So based on that, there is someone at 7:10 that if you were a single man that you would trust to set you up on a date. Travis, fact or cap?
I think there are two people here that if they said to me, hey, there's this woman I know, I think you guys would get along, that I'd be like, yeah, okay, I would take the plunge there. Because I think they get me and my sense of humor particularly well and just kind of where I'm coming from. Mark Cates and Jason Roberts would be the two guys that if they said, hey, you should meet her, I think you'd like her, I would do it. Otherwise, I'd be like, you know, I'm good. I'll find my own dates. But if either one of those two guys, because I think they understand what I like and what I don't like, they would point me in the right direction.
Berg?
Yeah, there are people here. I think most people here I would kind of trust. There's not many people like Cappy I would trust. I would trust Cates. I would trust anybody in the back. I think I trust most people, not you, Emily, but...
Okay.
No, I actually probably would trust you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You set up with a bunch of 26-year-olds, because that's all who I know.
That is not a bad thing.
Yeah, all right. Alan?
Fact, here's the thing. You just gotta know that it might not work out, and it's okay. Exactly. Somebody's got good intentions, right? Like, if you decided, hypothetically, right, if I'm not in a relationship, and you said, hey, I think you should meet this girl. Okay, I would try it. Now, I think sometimes people put too much in, oh my gosh, I hope this worked out. I hope it works out. Or I'm never going to go with you again because it didn't work out. I don't really know what you could do. You like, there's sometimes, the effort is there. You kind of take it from there and go with it.
Exactly. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. I'm willing to go out at least once with anybody.
Right. Taylor?
You're not. I could see it in your face, Travis.
Who would I trust? Okay, fact on this. I'll go with maybe Jorge. Jorge, I would trust.
That's a good one too.
Yeah,
that's a good one too.
Or maybe Boss Amanda.
Yeah, I think Jorge knows you pretty well too, so he hangs out with you, sees your gigs and everything. So, I don't know if you guys know about this, but for the women's tournament, they allow for home court advantage in the women's tournament, in the women's basketball tournament. So, if you're a higher seed, then you have home court advantage. So, Virginia Tech Hokies is a really, really great women's basketball team, and they play Enter Sandman before all their games, and so it's a really big thing at Virginia Tech. They get really into it. The NCAA banned Virginia Tech from playing Enter Sandman before the game, and so this was the student section's response to that.
That's great.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, they're super into it. Great.
Should have hired Metallica.
Yeah, exactly. They have in the past. They have performed at Virginia Tech. But you wish that men's March Madness had home court advantage. Berg, fact or cap?
100% fact. I think at least in the first two rounds, the 64 and 32 rounds, you should have home court advantage because that's what it should be. And this is very much what college basketball is all about. And it's because then the fans don't actually, the actual people that are in the, like UCLA, for example.
Yeah.
Pauley Pavilion is on campus, so they can go and go on there. A lot of those people are not going to go fly to Sacramento where they are right now and go see the games. So, yes, I think they should be in your home court for the first two rounds.
All right, Al?
Do we know, real quick, do we know why they banned that song?
I think it's just, I'm not sure about it. I just saw someone tweet about it, a reporter did.
My guess would be that they don't want home court, like, stylistics.
Yeah, like
that,
the band
playing.
That would
playing, be my guess. Like, you get the advantage of being at home. You don't get the advantage of having, like, your in-game entertainment in your building.
Totally fine. Yeah. But they should be in your building.
Yeah.
So, here's the difference with college football I get it. You're going somewhere else. It's one game. You play that one bowl game. You have multiple rounds here, and I think that if you have, and this is what makes college basketball or makes college ball, what makes it exciting is the why do we like the WBC? And I know this is a little bit different, but it's predominantly because of the fans. It's predominantly the because energy. The energy that's sure. there.
Told you, Greg.
Give it all the way up till the Sweet 16. If you want to go from the Sweet 16 on, that it's in a neutral court or it's somewhere else, I'm okay with that. First couple of rounds, I think that's fine.
Yeah.
All right, Trev?
Yeah, what Al said. I think that we're going to get a good look at it when we expand the college football field, that when you go from whatever it is now at 4 to, I think we're going to 8 next, that the first round, I believe, your top 4 seeds get a home game, and then that's you great. Go to neutral sites.
Yeah.
That's what it'd be. Like, it being a top seed should come with a reward other than just a weaker opponent. You can get the weaker opponent, and you get it at home. Makes it more challenging. Like, imagine... Like to do the basketball thing. Imagine if, and I'm just use this because it's me. Imagine if UCSB went into Waco and knocked them off. How amazing that would be. Whereas knocking them off in Denver, where they were, it's like, yeah, okay. And, I mean, you got the parents of both teams and some sports information directors.
Yeah, I like that
but
idea.
Going into their own backyard and beating them would be amazing.
Yeah, yeah, imagine do that like in Cameron Indoor and like Duke and everything. Yeah, it does add, especially in college basketball.
I love home that court they is sang so like that. That's really cool.
It's amazing. Yeah. All right, Taylor.
Cap, I think it takes away the madness. I think you need the unpredictability of just having, I don't know. I think a number one seed already has enough advantage as it is.
Not Purdue.
All right, so speaking in regards to the incident that happened yesterday during Crosstalk.
What do you mean? what happened?
Something happened?
Yeah.
Totally forgot about it.
Putting up a new wall over here.
I know, we have
wall's
a
gone.
Jersey covering of... Ridiculous.
You believe that we need a rage room at work. I don't know if you guys know what a rage room is. We need a rage room at work.
We need
Alan,
to fix these, by the way.
Fact or cap?
It's fact.
Clearly.
We saw it happen. I think if you have a room, a rage room, so basically you just you let anything
go
you
and
have.
Smash anything you want.
Yeah, what do you get to smash in the rage room?
So a lot, it obviously depends on whatever rage room you're
in. Our trophy.
A lot of times it's like a TV or glasses and you have a bat typically. So that's kind of like the main thing that people do there. And it lets out a lot of emotion. It lets out a lot of pent up aggression. But
the
I think
Lakers
here probably.
Schedule.
Yeah. Lakers schedule, maybe old computers. I don't know.
Fact. I like it. I like the idea. I like the concept.
Yeah, I'd like to smash some stuff. Why not? So here's the thing. And the only thing I have to compare to this, I think I have reasonably good control of my temper most of the time. Okay, I haven't done it in a very long time. But when I was a younger man, maybe in my 20s to my early 30s, when I would play golf, I'd get mad. Sometimes I would get very
banging
mad.
The club on the ground.
And I would occasionally, this is nothing that I'm proud of, I would occasionally break a golf club. Okay.
Over your leg?
Or step on the shaft or whatever it is. Like, I would occasionally do it. And it was always one of those, you're just so mad. And the second you do it, you're like, you are such a loser.
Yeah.
It really does immediately kind of take the edge off of whatever it is that's bothering you.
Remote. Sometimes you're watching a game, you throw a remote across the room.
I've never done that one, but it's one of those, like, I just cost myself $60. I got to replace that. Mm-hmm. And it's this incredibly deflating, embarrassing, humiliating moment where maybe just smashing a glass would be a better way to do it.
Berg?
Yeah, it's fact. I would love to have a rage room in here. It'd be amazing. We can actually probably put one in the back somewhere.
We got some offices that are open.
We have plenty of space to do this, and I would go in there when I wasn't angry and just start smashing things just to not allow myself
get adrenaline
angry.
Up. You know?
Exactly.
Get ready for the show.
Like right before the show, just instead of the growl, we go in there and we just start banging stuff.
That's it. Play Enter Sandman, you know, getting ready.
right, exactly. Could you imagine the social on that? Just people in there breaking stuff. We would have things like if Aaron Donald left for some reason, we'd take this stand up and just beat the hell out of it.
Maybe. Taylor?
Fact, Emily, this is your best idea ever. I think the show would dominate a rage room, honestly.
Do you get mad, Taylor? When you get frustrated, do you get angry? Do you blow?
I don't really throw things or break things, but I want to start doing it, I think.
You want to see what it feels like?
We need this.
What about you, Em?
Yeah, I get really mad.
Yeah,
Do you throw things?
Do you break things?
Are you shocked by that statement?
I'm not.
I'm not.
That she gets mad doesn't surprise me. But how mad are we talking? Right. Are we talking you're putting your fist through a wall mad? Are you talking that you break down in tears because you're so mad? Like, what level are we getting to?
Tears. I have used my hands when I shouldn't, and things like water polo, and you know there. there are competitive aspects of me that I don't really like to put out there. So I've not broken a wall, but I've wanted to probably.
I've seen her trip Taylor in the hallway.
I'm not even joking. I think we should just do this. This is a fantastic idea. We really should find a spot in here and make a rage room.
Okay.
All right, I have a bat. We have bats all over the place.
We have plenty of things to smash
that's
things
not the
with.
Problem.
Yeah, exactly.
There's plenty of like computers.
What
that
is
we don't
taking
use
the
that don't
beating
work.
Is the question.
No, yeah.
One of our 49 chairs we can use that too.
Like, I'll bring stuff in every day. I'll bring in like watermelons.
I got one more quick one for you guys. So someone did a poll of people who like to host dinner. So they say when planning a dinner, hosts worry the most about how much food they need to prepare, how clean their home is, figuring out how much time they need to prepare to cook food, and if guests would like their food. So you stress out about hosting people. Taylor, fact or cap?
Fact. I don't do it often. So, yeah, it's not something I'm comfortable with, really. Fact.
Trev?
I don't because I do it fairly regularly. And I think I'm pretty good at it, and I know what I need to do. Like, I've gone through
the experience
the
is there.
Yeah. The only thing I'd honestly worry about is if I'm going to run out of ice, because that is a pet peeve of mine when I go somewhere else. Like, these beers just got pulled out of the refrigerator. Like, it's cool. It's not cold. I want these beers so cold I can't grab the can. But no, I think I'm pretty good at it. It doesn't cause me a great deal of stress.
Berg?
It's cap also, because when I do have people over, and it's sometimes, it's always potluck. Because I know I don't have to make anything.
Well, you don't have any food in your house.
That's exactly right.
I also don't know if I'd want to taste the food that you make. good
point.
If you don't practice that.
Good
much.
Point.
Like, let's
want
just
some ketchup
be,
and
let's
bread?
Let's be real about this for just a second. I know how
spread
to
that ketchup.
Cook. I can cook. I just choose not to.
Okay, I'm going to split this hair here. Do you know how to cook or do you know how to feed yourself?
I know how to feed myself and I do know how to cook, like, but it's, you know, like, I don't know. I can either follow a recipe or I can just kind of figure stuff out on my own.
But if you don't practice, it's just like pickleball. If you don't play pickleball, you lose the skill.
We're
naturals.
Lose, yeah, exactly. Naturals, athletic.
All right, Al?
Fact is you do stress about it. Is that what it is?
Yes, that would be
fact. I don't do it often. So the few times that I have hosted, I've been a little bit lost. I'm like, okay, did I get enough food? What does this person specifically want? Well, if I get that type of alcohol, do they want that alcohol? Okay, well, do I get... So there's a little bit of
get one
the,
of everything.
There's a little bit of that portion of it.
Because then if you get one of everything...
Then you have everything left over?
Exactly. Yep. Exactly. And you can always overbuy the food because, taco guy told him 10 guy were coming, he prepared for 20. Now I got tacos. Now I'm ready to go. The Olympics are going to be here before you know it. Is the city ready? It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
So we talked a bunch about the Japan-Mexico game last night and the unbelievable call from the Japanese broadcast team, which is this, when the game-winning hit the bottom of the ninth.
Murakami-ta!
The one guy's just laughing. It's so good.
It's amazing. I love this call.
It's so good. And just the energy and everything else that comes along with it. Here's the English version. This was on FS1 last night. Joe Davis and John Smoltz.
Cracked in the air. Deep center field. Thomas on the move. It's off the wall. Ohtani's in to score. Here comes the winning run. Japan turns it around on its last breath.
Just about as good as you can do. It's just about as good as you can do where this is, I mean, we're so deeply spoiled. Greg, you and I were talking about this morning. I don't know if there's, and I love Joe Davis, so I'm in the bag, so take it for what it's worth. this dude replaced Vin Scully. And you know what the reaction was?
Okay.
Think about how good you have to be to replace Vin Scully and have everybody go, yeah, this is going to do just fine. This is fine. This is good. Not just,
he's already calling the World Series.
He's so good at it.
Replaced Joe Buck, and everyone's like, okay.
Fine. Good. Yeah. And I know I'm in the minority here. I like Joe Buck, too. But he gets excited when it's time to get excited. He doesn't get excited in the fifth inning. If that happens in the fifth inning, he's excited, but he's not screaming, this is the game-winning moment. We are incredibly lucky to get to listen to him call Dodger games the way that we do, because that is a pros. He replaced Vin Scully, and everyone went, yeah, this sounds good.
Yeah.
Think about how hard that is.
And what he does there, he does a lot of things.
It doesn't happen.
He does a lot of things that Vin Scully does do also, or did do, where he would go, we would have this at that high level, like, oh, it's gone.
And then he let it marinate.
He just lets it breathe.
Mm-hmm. Let it
and
breathe.
Everything. And he did it on every call that he did, and those big calls. The game-tying home run that made it 3-3,
yep.
Did the exact same thing.
Yep.
The Randy Arozarena catch. He was excited. He was like, oh, it's going, this one's over. And it's caught! Mm-hmm. And it was huge, and he just stopped and let everything breathe.
Here's the other part about this, too, that's so challenging for a game like that. The Mexican team, a little bit easier because most of those guys are major leaguers, and he's a major league play-by-play guy. He's familiar with most of these guys. Most of the Japanese team are not American major leaguers.
Yeah,
they're Japanese major leaguers. You know, we all know Otani. We all know Lars Nootbaar, who plays for the Cardinals. But most of those guys are in the Japanese league. These are guys he's unfamiliar. You would never know that he was unfamiliar, or I shouldn't say unfamiliar, not as familiar with those players as he was the Mexican players, the American players, the Dominican players, the Puerto Rican players that all play in the major leagues. It was just such a good call. They haven't missed a beat. Everything about the play has been excellent. The calls have been excellent. The star players are playing like stars. Everything about it is terrific. Merrill Kelly starting for the U.S. tonight in the championship.
So this is the crazy thing. Like you were trying to explain to me. I remember when I was working with you guys when Emily was in Catalina while it was raining, and she was building an ark.
She only goes when it rains.
That's the only time to go. But I was like, explain to me, like, get me into this. Try and help me out. And it wasn't working for whatever reason. Maybe because I was just missing the good ones. But this was so much fun, and you could see the excitement. You were 100% right. I was very, very wrong. It was exciting. I'm absolutely excited to go downstairs and watch
tonight. But there's been a build up to this too. I think that there's been a little bit of hype behind it. There's been just enough where you're seeing all these incredible baseball players that you know, that you're familiar with, and now it's, hey, this is it. You're either moving on or you're not. And the games have lived up to all the hype.
That's it.
8-2 yesterday, probably not going to be spending that much time talking about it.
You're 100% right, Al. That other than USA Cuba, the games have been really good. The winning or tying run has been on base in the late innings. We've gotten late inning home runs.
Trey Turner's grand slam. How many times have you seen that in the past couple of days?
The next night.
Forget it. Weird's the wrong word. Unusual, I guess, is a better word. That in the ultimate game, I keep wanting to call it the gold medal game. I don't think you win it. The championship game.
It kind of is.
The championship game.
What do they get, a ring?
Probably something like that. But we're throwing Merrill Kelly as our starting pitcher. Like, you would think that of all of the American pitchers, you want Justin Verlander. You want Max Scherzer. You want Jacob deGrom, Clayton Kershaw. Like, one of these guys that's just, you know, a mega, 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 mega star.
Maybe Kelly. You do.
Do you know where Merrill Kelly pitches?
No.
Diamondbacks,
Arizona,
right?
Yeah. He's an Arizona pitcher. And apparently he's got a little swag. Like DeRosa was talking about, like, he wanted the ball in the opening game. They're like, chill, dude. Wainwright gets that. Take it easy.
You're
Merrill Kelly.
Wainwright.
But there is something to the guy wanting to
do it. I respect that.
And
yeah.
I do think that there's an
element.
Not
four runs in the first inning.
Well, yes, that would be bad. But knowing that you have to score some runs, because he's probably going to give up some runs, adds another element to it. The Japanese team has Yu Darvish and Otani as their 2 and 3 tonight. The guy that's going to start for him is a dude named Shota Imanaga.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he's the Japanese starting pitcher tonight. I don't know who that is. I'm assuming he's probably
a star in Japan.
He's
not Roki Sasaki.
No, dude, that dude was unreal.
So good.
He was
everything
amazing.
Was over 100. He's 21 years old.
He's a freak. He
was talking about Smoltz on the air. Was basically like, I don't
know what to tell you about this. Like, this is different.
I don't know what to do with that.
This is different. When he figures out what he's doing, it's different. We're throwing Merrill Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Shohei Ohtani is going to pitch for Japan. Yu Darvish is going to pitch for Japan. We'll go through our bullpen, but it's not like you're going to have just this parade of household names that are coming out there like the Daniel, Japanese.
Is Daniel Bard going to get back out there?
I will bet you my house that Daniel Bard does not pitch tonight.
Does that take some of the steam out?
No, I think it's oddly makes it a little more compelling that you don't have, and I know Edwin Diaz is not an American, but if you know you have Edwin Diaz and all of these just guys, Josh Hader, they're just going to slam the door at the end.
Yeah.
It's different than, I know this guy pitches for the Brewers and he's pretty good. I know this guy pitches for the Cardinals and he's pretty good.
Devin Williams is a very good pitcher.
But you said something yesterday, and that's the only reason why I'm saying does it take some of the steam out, because who was it that was pitching over the weekend? That was just getting, had zero location.
Oh, Daniel Bard.
Okay, yeah. So you said that he had to actually pitch because this is part of the agreement with the major league team.
Yeah.
Does that part
kind of... I think
that's
out the window tonight. Mm-hmm. If Merrill Kelly goes out there and doesn't have it early...
They'll pull him.
I think they'll pull him. I don't Phil think... told the Diamondbacks we'd get him 60 pitches. I don't think they're going to do that.
Phil Nevin said that Shohei's only allowed to pitch one inning.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. So... really, let's come back and talk about this on the other side, because I think it's interesting. Let's say it's 4-4 and Shohei Ohtani goes and pitches the ninth inning, gets out of it, and it's still 4-4 and the 10th inning rolls around. You don't think he's going to want to go back out there?
He's going to want to.
You don't think that he's going to say, I want to go out there and pitch this game. This is the most important game I've ever played in. That's next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.